The following is presented by Le Sommet Coors Light, celebrity guests, entertainment, and oh, a bit of sports. Every Wednesday night on RDS.
Love to hear different takes, difference of opinion. Even if you're on the same page, there is some subtlety to the difference of opinion, right? And sometimes it's not so subtle. Craig Button a couple of days ago, and some Hab fans were outraged by Craig Button, who graduated from Riverdale High in Pierrefonds. And over the last couple of days on this show yesterday, Gord Miller, and this morning on the morning show with Connor McKenna and Sean Starr and Rick Moffitt. That, of course, was Mark Denis of RDS, who's on every morning. Welcome back on game night ahead of the Habs and Panthers in Sunrise. Mitch Melnick, Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo. Let's delve a little deeper into this, and we're going to study some numbers and hopefully put to bed any debate that still exists about plus minus and the value of plus minus. He is one of our favorite numbers guys. He's the analytics guy. He puts together the power rankings at TSN. He offers fantasy advice, and he's a good friend of the show from TSN.ca. Scott Cullen, how you doing, Scott?
I'm great. How are you today, Mitch?
I'm fine, thank you. What do the numbers tell you before this season started that if we were to have a conversation in early March that the Canadiens would be where in the standings?
I think coming into the season, it was reasonable to think they were competitive for a playoff spot. I think the most glaring difference between what has occurred and what you might have expected is that Carey Price didn't come in and stop 92 or 93% of the shots he faced this year. If you just made that simple change and live with the rest of the flaws on your team, they're a whole lot closer to that playoff spot. And I think the numbers would also tell you that coming into the season, you wouldn't expect them to shoot as poorly as they have this year. And that's not like there is some randomness that goes with that. If you look at right now, the Buffalo Sabres are the only team that shoots worse at 5-on-5 than the Montreal Canadiens. And that's, in a lot of cases you would say, oh, well, that's obvious because the team just doesn't have the talent, the scores, what have you. Well, here are the teams who were at the bottom in 5-on-5 shooting percentage last year. Los Angeles, Colorado, New Jersey, Buffalo, Florida, Philadelphia. The only team that's the same, year over year is Buffalo. All those other teams are at least middle of the pack, if not better. This year. And so in some ways you could look at sort of this shooting percentage failure of Montreal and say, well, there's a chance that turns around next year just because it's rare for you to end up being at the bottom of the heap in back-to-back years.
And part of that, of course, is all you have to do is, well, Thomas Pekanic, who's now in Toronto, eating up 18 minutes a night and just can't score.
Yeah.
And what his shooting percentage is, and I know they expected more out of Lekkonen, but it's not like he's got any kind of proven NHL track record. And he scored a total of 5 goals. Charles Hudon has been getting a lot of minutes. He's under 10. So the whole and the guys that you counted on to bust through a 20 and over 30 also had down year scoring wise in Pacioretty and Galchenyuk. And
exactly.
You go ahead. You want to pick up on that? No,
I was going to say we could be here all day as you list the guys who have underperformed offensively. But it's exactly as you stated, right? Like guys like Pacioretty and Galchenyuk, who you really count on having down years. Well, then you need the slack to get picked up, and it really hasn't been picked up anywhere because Hudon generates shots, but he hasn't been able to finish very well, and Drouin doesn't finish a whole lot, and Lekkonen hasn't finished a whole lot, and it's like Paul Byron and Brendan Gallagher are kind of the two guys on the team who finish at a decent rate. Now Byron doesn't generate a whole ton of shots, so there's sort of a limited ceiling to what he's going to do, but. If the Canadiens made absolutely no changes to their lineup and you just rolled the same guys out next year, you would very reasonably expect the percentages to be better because it would almost be hard to be worse.
All right. Here's what bothers a lot of us is that beyond the numbers, there seems to be this It's as if that a lot of teams in hockey have passed them. While so many teams were going younger and faster and with mobile defensemen, the Canadians, what they did, it was highlighted by what they did at the trade deadline and their inability to get offense and what they did in the offseason. And they believe that the coaching of Claude Julien, coupled with the goaltending of Carey Price, could carry them through and perhaps a deep run in the playoffs. And that is, to me, so yesterday. It's right in front of everybody in the National Hockey League. And what was disturbing to me was listening to Claude Julien, who, again, I have a lot of respect for, briefly in conversation with Pat Hickey and Dan Robertson in Florida after practice.
Is it a bigger concern, though, at the other end of the ice?
Well, I think, you know, when you look at his plus minuses, I think a lot of it, you know, from the beginning of the year, I think it was much more of an issue than it is now. I see a guy who's working down low a lot more than he did earlier on, and, you know, his plus minus has gone down a little bit, so that's a good sign.
Claude Julien, talking about Jonathan Drouin's plus minus, he has mentioned Jeff Petrie's plus minus. When we talked to him after he became coach, when I asked him specifically about Galchenyuk at center, he specifically said, well, it's one thing to score. It's another thing if you're in the minus department, you have issues in your own end. So he's stuck, like a lot of guys his age or older, seem to be on plus minus. And it's hard to completely ignore a stat that's in every stat line that you look at in the NHL. My point has been for years, I didn't think I'd be having this conversation in 2018, but the coach of the Canadians in a down season is regurgitating. So can you please explain to a lot of our listeners why it is bogus?
Well, sure. One, because I mean, the first reason to not get too caught up in plus minus is because you don't control a whole lot of the result. You know, if you just took even the 5-on-5 part of the plus minus, You're looking at, you know, four other skaters on your team, five other skaters on the other team, goaltenders at either end. So the individual impact on plus minus is negligible, just in the 5-on-5 situation. If you're a power play, if you're on the power play, every shorthanded goal against you is going to count as a minus, whether you had anything to do with it or not. If you're on the ice at the end of games and the team's scoring the empty net, those count against you. And it, you know, when I think of, you know, as I was growing up and plus minus was, you know, still a thing, you know, you just sort of were left with the idea that, well, these things even out. But actually, when you look inside the numbers, they don't. It really tilts against some players. Like, say, a guy like Jeff Petrie, because he's had to play, you know, so many big minutes and important minutes for the Canadiens, well, he ends up with a bad plus minus as a result. But I don't think that really reflects on, you know, his contribution to the team. And that's, you know, kind of standard, I think, for a lot of guys who play big roles on teams that aren't doing well. They have a bad plus minus. But this goes to your point that, you know, that plus minus stat gets, you know, it's out on every stat sheet. And like, there was a couple years ago when I was at the Sloan conference, and Chris Kelly was on the panel there, and they, you know, they asked him, you know, what do you look at after the game to, you know, see if your line's in. Well, you know, we check our plus minus, and it's like, oh my goodness, like if you went out and, you know, outshot the other team 10-2, but they ended up scoring on that on one of those two shots, you're going to come out of the game feeling like you played a bad game. Like, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but that's still the way a lot of people think inside the game, and I don't know kind of how quickly you're going to change those opinions, you know, because those are ingrained and have been around for a long time.
Yeah, I would have thought, even if an organization doesn't lean as heavily on the analytics side as others, that you would think by now that would be part of a discussion involving the front office and the coaching staff and whoever has been hired by a particular team to provide some numbers to lay off the plus minus, right? Like, exactly. Ignore it. Just ignore it.
Yeah, like, and even if you want to, if you want to look at the goals for and against, like, at least strip out the other parts where it's going to sort of not tell you anything about the player. Like, if a guy's being outscored at 5-on-5, and, you know, maybe you can dig into whether you know, that's, you know, their fault, or they're getting poor goaltending, or just bad luck. Like, you can look into that stuff. But, you know, when you start taking in the shorthanded goals against and the empty net goals against and things like that, well, you know, you end up particularly with good players on bad teams, they end up with a bad plus minus, and it doesn't really reflect on their contribution overall.
From TSN Analytics, Scott Cullen on Melnick in the afternoon on game night, Habs and Panthers in Florida on TSN 690. Mitch Melnick, Rod Francis, and Mitch Gallo.
So let's say we want to, Scott, figure out if a player is actually good defensively. What is the best way to go about that? For instance, I think in my mind that Alex Barkov is a fantastic two-way player, really good in his own zone. But what numbers can I look at so I can prove my point that Barkov is, say, a superior defensive player to another guy?
Well, one of the things is you want to look at things that will have a bigger sample than goals, because goals are such rare events in the National Hockey League. And so you can look at total shot attempts against, and actually not even total, go by rate, because a guy like Barkov is going to be on the ice a ton, so he's probably going to be on for more shots against. But if you go on a shots against per 60 minutes or what have you, you'll see that he fares pretty well that way. If you want to kind of complicate matters and see whether you can look at expected goals measures and things like that to see whether or not he's giving up, say, high-quality shots, I mean, it's rare. I think you would find somebody who gives up, a low quantity but high quality, but you can refine your searches to do that evaluation. And so like that in general, that will tell you that Barkov is a good defensive player. You can also take those numbers and kind of do it relative to your teammates, because maybe you're on a team, and this probably does apply to Barkov as well, is that the team overall isn't necessarily great. But if your numbers are so much better relative to your teammates, that's also an indication that of your defensive impact. And I say this, recognizing that defense is still the biggest challenge in what we're trying to measure when you use kind of advanced stats, is that you can come up with, okay, this gives us an idea or a little bit more information, but I don't think we have something that we can just kind of say, oh, well, it's this one number, and you go, that totally tells you the story about one player.
There is no advanced stat yet, correct me if I'm wrong, that wholly defines an NHL player.
No, I think there are a few people who are kind of working on their version of war. I even have my own sort of private one that I do, but I don't think any of us would look at it and say, okay, this absolutely gives you the number you're looking for. I mean, look at baseball. Baseball's had war for a long time, and you still get arguments sort of about the value and whether that gives you the whole picture of a player. And hockey's not even at that point yet, to where we would put it out there and feel comfortable that, okay, you're really representing kind of the player's whole contribution. It's a complex thing to figure out.
I was listening to Mike Babcock not too long ago, and he was talking about Travis Dermott when he was recently called up. And Babcock referenced specifically tracking chances for and chances against. Is that something that you think people should be looking at?
Sure, and then that goes to the sort of refining your search. Like if I'm looking at a player, and I will look at the total shot attempts against a particularly a 5-on-5, because you want kind of a level playing field. And so if you look at them and you go, okay, well, it tells me this thing about that player. But then you can go look at, even publicly, you can look on sites like Natural Stat Trick and Corsica Hockey that give you kind of more information, whether it's expected goals or scoring chances. And that sort of refines the picture you get, and I've done it sometimes in trying to measure defensemen, is try and see kind of what the percentage of, say, scoring chances relative to the overall number of shots against. So you can kind of say, okay, if our position is that, okay, shots against, you really want to keep them down, but what if this guy's giving up a whole bunch of high quality chances? Like it can kind of mitigate the larger number. But I think what we've found so far is that things like scoring chances, because it's a smaller sample, it's not as repeatable. It's not something that you can kind of hang your hat on in the same way you can with shots overall.
Or you could pay attention for 60 minutes and sometimes 65 minutes and come to the conclusion, hey, that guy Brendan Gallagher, he's having a great year.
Yeah,
well, I don't have to look at any number.
Well, you see, and this is the great case is that when you have a guy like Gallagher who's having a really good season, and then you flip by and look at the numbers, and go, yep, you know, the numbers totally support what you see, and that's, you know, part of the reason that you can, I guess, kind of feel comfortable using those numbers. Like the example I use is kind of as advanced stats started in their kind of infancy. They came out and told us that Patrice Bergeron is an amazing player. And I think, you know, most people would watch a game and think, yeah, Patrice Bergeron's a pretty good player, and you see his points and so on. But when you look at his advanced stats, I mean, they're off the charts. They're top best in the league. Mm-hmm. And now when you watch Patrice Bergeron, if you're really watching, you realize that, yeah, he does every little thing you're supposed to do. He does it right. And I think if you're kind of using them properly, it also helps you know what to look for. And so, yes, in the case of Gallagher, the numbers back it up. And in the case of, you know, a guy like Bergeron, the numbers back it up. And so, you know, then the question is, if you have guys where the numbers don't back it up, you know, then you have to start doing some digging to find out whether or not, you know, your eyes are telling you the right thing or you're missing something.
And that's where Scott Cullen comes in. Always great talking to you, Scott. Thanks so much. Have a terrific weekend.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
Scott Cullen, TSN.ca. Get in touch with Scott before the playoffs start again. It's not that hard, right? Just games played, goals, assists, points. Just jump right to penalties in minutes. Forget there's plus minus. That's what I do. I've been doing that for years, honestly.
Even a penalty
doesn't register to me. I manage to block it out of my mind when I look at stats.
Penalties is another one that's changing.
How so?
Well, I remember when I used to look at a hockey card growing up or a box score. You know, look at all the pims that guy has. And I like to have a guy like, he's a tough guy. He's physical. But penalties are bad.
Yes, penalties are bad. That's a good point. There are occasionally you can take a good penalty, but overall penalties are bad.
Yeah, so that's kind of my point. You know, we look at pims and we're like, oh, look at all the pims he has. It's not good.
Yeah. Today, like Knuckles, I know Knuckles is listening going, hey, hang on a second. Those 6 hours I spent in the penalty box, do you know how difficult it was to score 20 goals that year?
Mitsubishi Motors has made the best warranty in the business even better. So now, when you get a new Mitsubishi, you get a no-charge extended warranty that still gives you this.